Hi, everyone. I'm Scott Brandley.
And I'm Alicia Coakley. Every member of the church has a story to share, one that can instill faith, invite growth, and inspire others.
On today's episode, we're going to hear how persecution in the past taught one church historian that God will always support us in our trials and afflictions. Welcome to Latter-day Lights. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Latter-day Lights. We're so glad you're here with us today. We're really excited to introduce our guest all the way from Ireland, Thomas Holton. Thomas, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellently well. Thank you.
Thomas, I'm so excited about your accent. We have a lot of Irish in our ancestry line and everything like that. Like my last name's Coakley, so obviously, right? But oh man, I've been telling my husband, I'm like, the first time that we ever get to really go out of the States for like a good vacation, I want to go to Ireland and I want to stay in a castle. So I have to ask you, like, have you been in a castle? Is it really cold and wet? Like everyone says, like, is it awesome?
Yes, I have been in a castle. I've been in more than one.
Oh, really? Castle.
Yes, yes. Now,
Do you have a favorite there?
Not really. Most of them have been around for such a long time that they're decayed. They're not in perfect condition. There are some that are only partial castles left remaining, but there are some that are nice, that are well worth going to. One of the castles that I like is Malahide Castle, which is right on the coast. And it's really beautiful. Awesome. Beautiful gardens, a lot of room to maneuver and to go and have a look. And you really feel like you need to be wearing a knight's armor or a maiden's dress, because it just really feels like you're back in the past. So absolutely.
Oh, that is so cool. That's cool. All right. I'm going to have to get that name written down so that can be on my wish list. And then I'll come visit you. We'll come say hi.
Absolutely.
Get some corned beef.
Sometimes what we do is you can go to a castle and they'll have a Shakespearean play. Quite late at night, and they'll do that in a castle surroundings. So that's quite an experience to go to a Shakespearean play in a castle setting at night.
Oh my gosh. Very cool. That sounds totally dream board vision worthy. I love it.
Absolutely.
Very, very cool. Well, so from Ireland, how did you come across our show?
So because of my interest in all things Latter-day Saint on YouTube, I was searching various different channels and content that I found to be inspiring. And that's how I came across Latter-day Lights. And so I was so happy that I did, because to see on the internet, there is a lot of content that is oppositional to the church from my perspective. Mm-hmm. So it's really wonderful to see content that is faith promoting. So I was really drawn to it from that perspective, to see people who have struggled but have faith in the process. So that's how I came across the show.
Oh, I love that. Well, we're very happy.
That's why we made it. Yeah, that's why we made it, because there is a lot of just junk, antagonistic, negative, right? Like things that are out there, and we just need more light, more good things out there to inspire people. So,
absolutely. I love the name Latter-day Lights. I think that's perfect. It's a light on a hill. Such a scriptural concept, but I really think it's true. That positivity and that energy, because sometimes people only perceive what's negative about an organization, but you're showcasing that there's so much that's positive and good. And I think that's critically important. So well done.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, we've had fun. This has been it's been a great journey. We've loved it.
Well, and you're a part of it now.
Yeah, I know.
So, so happy.
Yeah.
So Thomas, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. So I was born in 1973 in Ireland, and we weren't members of the church at that stage. But obviously, that's a long time ago. I'm 50 now. So we've been in the church for a long time, since 1976. Essentially, my story is I've done all the things that you do in the church, grow up, in the Aaronic priesthood, and after being baptized, and I served a mission in England for 2 years. In fact, Geoffrey R. Holland was the area president. He lived in our mission. So I got to see him a few times. Yeah, he came to our mission in Birmingham, where they're building the new temple, incidentally. So that's where he served, and that's where I served my mission. So it was a fantastic experience. And then since I came home, I've been involved in the church and in leadership mostly since I came home 30 years ago. I'm married to my wife, who was actually baptized in the ocean in Galway.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you have a Galway girl.
Yes.
Like Ed Sheeran.
Yes. Yes. And they make an impact. Let's put it that way. Yeah. So, we have a lot of stories. She joined the church when she was 18. I joined the church, obviously, as a child. But we have one son who's an adult, and he's served a mission. And we love the church. We love the gospel. We love to serve. And I suppose my interests really are reading and epic movies. I love Lord of the Rings and, you know, movies like that.
Right.
So that's pretty much me.
That's awesome. Very cool. Now, what did you do professionally? Do you?
So I work as a senior manager in the civil service. I work for the Irish Department of Justice. Wow. I'm one of the managers in the legal side of the department. So that's my career. I've been a manager for 20 years longer.
Wow.
Than 20 years. Yeah. So I love it. Problem solving.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it keeps me busy. I love it.
Yeah, I bet.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
Awesome. Well, Thomas, the floor is yours, my friend. Tell us your story.
Okay, I will. So I was thinking about where to start on this. And really, I suppose it's important to start at the beginning. And to give a preamble before I explain the story, it's important to note that there is a happy ending. And the context really of what I want to say is faith promoting, even though at points it may not seem that way. So if you just bear with me. So in 1975, the latter part of 1975, my mother was baptized in January 1976, and she really took to the gospel like a duck to water. She loved the Book of Mormon. She loved the scriptures, loved having the missionaries to our home. And we were all in, really, at that point. We did live in a very poor part of Dublin at that time, which was actually Ireland was quite a poor country compared to what it is now. It was really poor. And we were really poor within a poor situation. So it was particularly acute for us. And so my mother was a single mother, and she had three boys to look after. We would invite the missionaries to our home every week without fail, that I recall. I don't remember missing having the missionaries to come for dinner and share some time with us. And we noticed that there was a fair degree of hostility towards us for being members of the church. People would call us Mormons in a negative, pejorative sense, not a good way. And so that was understandable, I suppose, because the church was so distinctive from Catholicism, which was the main religion at that time. And so there wasn't a great appreciation for the blessings and the good things that the church does. It was just seen as strange, seen as weird, seen as different. So we were persecuted for that. There's three events that I think I would like to focus on that for me really showcase the persecution that we experienced, which was very severe. One was when we were at a church activity and we came home that night about 9 or 10 p.m. It was quite late. And we'd found that someone had tried to burn our house down. So we had behind the door, we had a curtain. And someone had obviously put in something, some fire product in through the mailbox. And the curtain had caught fire and completely melted. Now, thankfully, the fire didn't spread, which was a miracle because there was a lot of wood in that house. But it was just really strange. It took us a while to get the door open. And then obviously it took us a while to clear off all the charred remains of the curtain. Mm-hmm. But we were so blessed. We felt like because we were at the church activity, because we were doing the Lord's work, that he protected us. And we were grateful that we weren't there at home right. when it happened. But we were also grateful that our house was still standing when we came home, because those houses right. were actually all connected together. So if our house had burned, the houses beside it would have burned too. So it was a very dangerous thing that someone did to our house. But the Lord protected us. It was an example of his power. The second event that strikes me is was a situation where we were under pressure, and a lot of about 20 teenagers, a gang of 20 teenagers, came into our house, came into our living room where myself and my mother and my two brothers were, and they were threatening my mother, saying that they were going to kill her.
Oh my gosh.
So I was about 10 at the time. So needless to say, that was a very severe moment. I can still remember the trepidation I felt, because these teenagers were much bigger than us. At a certain point, my mom spoke to the teenagers and managed somehow to calm them down. I don't know exactly how she did that, but it was a miracle to my mind. And so they left. They actually left without causing us any harm. So that was really interesting that was able to happen. Again, it was a blessing of the Lord. The third event which happened was the smashing of all our windows. So we had a lot of windows in the house, and they were all smashed by presumably young people. We had a lot of young people in the area, some of whom didn't like us because we were members of the church. So they smashed all the windows. So we replaced them, which cost us a fair bit of money. And my mum was not well off. She was a single mother. And so they were smashed again. So then after that second time, we couldn't afford to fix them. So what happened was my dad, who was separated from my mother at this stage, he was living in England. He moved. He didn't move over, but he came to visit. And he had some carpentry skills. So essentially we bought some wood panels, and he cut them to size and essentially put them in the place of where the windows were. So we had eventually a boarded up house that we were living in, which was fully operational, although from the outside it looked like it was empty. And to bring friends, I remember bringing some friends there. I actually had some friends come from school one day to surprise me. And they were girls, and they came Aww. And surprised me and found me living in a house that was boarded up with wood. And they couldn't understand why. And we had to explain, oh, we're members of the church, and people don't really appreciate that. So they smashed our windows. So that was really humiliating at the time. And I suppose eventually we did get the windows replaced, and we were able to move to a different location. Mm-hmm. And my mom was blessed to be able to go back to work and to get a mortgage on a house in a much better area. And again, that was the blessing of the Lord. In fact, she had a wonderful experience around this time. She said she was kneeling at her bedside, and she was in tears because of all the trouble we were having, all the persecution, all the difficulty, which was relentless. And she said that she felt like the Savior was at the bedside. She didn't see him, but she felt like he was there saying, everything's going to be okay. I'm protecting you and your three boys. And she always recounts that story sacredly, feeling like, okay, the Lord literally does protect us in a time of need. So those three experiences, they were difficult to go through. They were very hard to go through. Having said that, I don't want to present it as if it was all negative, because our experience with the church was great. We love the gospel. We love the church. And we felt like the Lord was compensating us, that the Lord mm-hmm. was watching over us, that he was protecting us. And we felt many great blessings during that time. Even though there was great trouble, there was great peace in the gospel. And the Holy Ghost tells us to know that things would be okay. I do remember that we would feed the missionaries every single week. And I feel like the Lord really appreciated that, and that the Lord watched over us because of that, because we were feeding his servants. We were saying, okay, you might be having hostility in another place you go to, but when you come to our home, you're welcome. You're servants of the Lord. We recognize you. And if the Savior was here, we'd invite him in and give him a meal. So that's the mm-hmm. way we treated the missionaries. And we felt like the Lord really blessed us and prospered us. And because of that, that was a difficult experience to have, lots of difficult experiences. But I think it built and nurtured our faith. It made us stronger. It might seem ironic. It might seem strange to say that you could have experiences like that and not turn against the church or not turn against mm-hmm. God. But we found that we had to be true to what we knew to be true. And so the reason I share that, those experiences, which are very personal, but very difficult, is because the Lord sustained us. He comforted mm-hmm. us. He was with us. He didn't abandon us in our time of need. And I think that's so important to remember, because in this day and age, that's a long time ago, the experiences I was talking about. In this day and age, the persecution is a bit different. It manifests yeah. in a different form. But it's still the same core issue, that if we love the Lord and if we rely on him, he will be our support and our strength. And he will do it personally to each one of us, whatever our situation or our circumstances are at the time.
Right. So, Thomas, how many years did this go on with you and your family? Like how long so were you guys kind of persecuted and stuff?
We were there from 1975 to 1986, so 11 years.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. 11 years, yeah. And then we moved to a new area, and there was still some trouble in the new area, but it wasn't as bad. It was a lot less difficult. In some ways, we felt like, why is this happening? You know, when you're a child, mm-hmm. you don't actually fully understand why things are happening. But as I've grown older, I've realized that sometimes people persecute you because they're afraid, or yeah. because they're malicious, or because they just don't understand, for lots of different mm-hmm. reasons. And so yeah. regardless of the reasons, we can know that the Lord will comfort us and bless us. I found personally that really hurt me to be able to weather the storm, which I'm going to tell you about my own personal challenges with health. But I found that those difficulties I had when I was young actually prepared me to go through very serious difficulty as I got older. And so I think mm-hmm. the Lord doesn't waste these experiences. He uses them to cultivate us, to help us to become something more than what mm-hmm. we are.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to say, your mom must be an amazing person, for one, to go through persecution like that and still just be strong and open your house to the missionaries, almost like a safe haven yeah. from the world. Because I'm guessing that they were persecuted, too. So that's amazing that your mom was yeah. willing to do that. And yeah. I'm sure that made a huge difference in so many missionaries' lives, knowing yeah. that there was a safe place they could go.
And you know what I was thinking? Even the friends that
Absolutely.
You had that, yeah. So even the friends that you had that stopped by, I don't know why, but just when you told me that part of the story, there was like this thought that kind of popped in my head, was like maybe it showed them, you know, like here, they already had a friendship with you. They wanted to hang out with you. And then for them to realize, what you were going through that they had no idea. It might have taught them a little bit of compassion too. It might have stirred something within them so that maybe later on, you know, they could look back and they could say that was a seed that was planted where perhaps they'll remember, you know, perhaps missionaries will knock on their door one day or something will happen where they'll have a chance to learn about the gospel. And you never know like how far reaching that trial period of you guys' lives really can go, you know? Jeez.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, I agree with you. We don't really know the impact that these things can have. We don't always see the long-term long-term outcome of what can happen. Yeah. So, definitely my friends had a different perspective. My genuine friends were genuine. Yeah. So it is That's interesting. Cool. Yeah, you're absolutely mm-hmm. right. And yes, Scott, to your point, the missionaries did get a lot of trouble in that area, but they still came. And it was fertile ground in a way. And so sometimes we have to go through the fire, don't we? We have to mm-hmm. wade through the deep waters in order to find the blessings that the Lord has. I'm glad that the missionaries actually came, because if they didn't come to that area, we wouldn't have joined the church. Well, hopefully the Lord would have found another way. But my mom is still in contact with those missionaries, and they're happy Aww. To hear that we're still active in the church all these years later. So it just shows you the implications. We don't always see. I don't think we can see. I don't, mm-hmm. as humans, we can't actually see the full implications of what we do. It just isn't yeah. possible, but God can see it. And so yeah. obviously those missionaries may have thought, some missionaries think they're not successful, but they really have no idea how many people they're impacting through their service.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. And, you know, I had another thought too, when you were talking about this. It's not that Heavenly Father makes us go through the trials, right? Like he's not convincing people to go burn down our houses and smash in our windows and call us names and all of those things, right? Like, but he allows it to happen sometimes. He'll just let it play out because he, like you said, he does see the bigger picture and he knows there's going to be some bumps and bruises along the way, but it's going to be so much better for us in the end if we can learn how to get through that, right? And so it's not that he's like a, you know, a mean parent or a puppeteer that's just making life miserable for his entertainment, right? You know, I think sometimes it's hard for us to remember that when we're in the affliction. We keep asking, God, why are you doing this to me? You know, why aren't you stopping this? But I love from your perspective, Thomas, of, you know, you don't know how far the effects will go from it in a positive way, you know. So what happened next in your story?
So the next area that we moved to was much better. So we still had some persecution relating to being members of the church, but it was a lot less pronounced. I suppose fast forward then later on, experiences that we've had lots of experiences that were difficult, but we've also had lots of joyful experiences. And I do want to emphasize that we've had lots of rich blessings that the Lord prospered us and given us opportunities. So I suppose if I fast forward a little bit to after my mission, and then I was in university. And in my final year of university, I started to feel really, really unwell. And I felt like these cramping feelings in my stomach. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it was, but I went to the doctor to be tested. And I had a series of medical tests. And it turned out that I had an ulcer. Which I got treatment for, which worked very effectively. But after that experience, and that was 1997, so that's 26 years ago. After that experience, I found that I just had one health issue after another. So after the ulcer, then I had food poisoning, and then I had IBS, IBD, and various other things. And so I had to go through a process of testing and medication. And I tried lots of different medication, which would work for a while and then stop working. At a certain point, my ulcer recurred, and I had what they call triple therapy treatment. So ulcers wear away the stomach lining. Mm-hmm. And so I had to have treatment for that, medical treatment. So then at a certain point, it started to get much, much worse, where I would have very serious pains. Now, this is a little bit graphic, so be cautious of that. But I would feel like someone was carving my insides with a screwdriver. So it was phenomenally nasty pain at a certain point, and I would have to take days off work, and I would be really, really unwell. So again, I went through various tests and procedures, and they really couldn't tell what was wrong with me. And they just said, well, it's just, you know, general issues that doesn't have an exact definition. And so I remember going into work on the 18th of December, 2010. So I arrived in work, and at lunchtime, I had my lunch. And then a couple of hours later, I felt like I was going to die. I felt really, really bad. And I went into the special room that we had in work, in our office, and I just got sick everywhere. I just vomited everywhere. It was pretty horrible. And so my boss called an ambulance, and so I was put in the ambulance, and I was brought to a hospital, and they I was really, really poorly, but they gave me painkillers, which made little or no difference. So anyway, they did a CT scan, and they couldn't tell what was wrong with me. So at that time of the year, actually, Ireland was in a serious frost. It was really, really cold, and place was covered in snow and frost. And so my wife wanted to bring me home, because I was in Dublin at that time, but we actually lived out here in the Midlands. So she brought me home that night. And so then the next day, I was fine for a little while. But then at a certain point, I just felt like a rupture inside of me. And so we had to rush to the emergency room. And I actually couldn't even tie my seatbelt. I was in so much pain. It was really difficult. And then we went into the hospital, and they actually thought, they did another CT scan in a different hospital. They thought I actually had a twisted bowel. And so that's what they were prepping me for surgery for a twisted bowel. But actually, when the surgeon opened me up, he realized it was a ruptured intestine. So it just exploded like a bomb. He showed me the pictures afterwards, and it looked like a bomb had gone off. So it was really bad. But I had an excellent surgeon. He removed not all of the diseased area, but most of the diseased area. But it was a five or six hour surgery. It was really long.
Wow.
And so, yeah, when I woke up, I was in intensive care, and stayed there for 4 or 5 days. So it was really very difficult, because having the morphine and everything else was quite an experience, having hallucinations and things. But I suppose to move on from that, after the surgery, I started to recover and to recuperate. My wife had been worried that I would pass away, but thankfully I didn't. And so essentially, I recovered very quickly, actually. The doctors, physiotherapists, they were all really shocked at how quickly I recovered. And I related to the word of wisdom and just trying to live a healthy lifestyle and the blessing of the Lord. And so I did recover. When I was in the hospital, the psychologist came to see me and she thought I was very depressed, which actually is not unusual for someone who's had major surgery like that, which is, you know, on the verge of death. I found out later that if I didn't get hospital treatment within a certain time, I would have been dead because all the toxins would just engulf your body. So I was so grateful that I got the medical treatment. The surgeon said to me, "You're a very brave man." Because he said to my wife, "Oh, your husband is really, really sick." So anyway, I had the process of recovering. I had a feeding tube, didn't have any solid food for 6 weeks. My wife actually brought in my laptop, relating to the fact that the psychologist had said I was depressed, that I needed something to give me a bit of a boost. And so my wife came in, brought me the laptop and said I should write my life history. And so that's what I did. I wrote my life history in the hospital. And actually from that came my books that I've written, the two books that I've written that have been published, and then the new one that's going to be published in October. And part of the process, I think I learned through that suffering, and it was phenomenal suffering, was that suffering can be a great education. It can really instruct us in the ways of the Lord. It can teach us things. Now, obviously, the Lord didn't cause my sickness. It was, as it turns out, what I have. I was diagnosed with an aggressive variant of Crohn's disease. I'm on chemotherapy for that. I have been for 11 years, which is similar treatment you would have if you had bowel cancer. So, and the chemotherapy is very effective. I've been in remission for 11 years and I still do my regular checkups with the surgeon. But that powerful medicine really helps. So just the reason I wanted to share that experience was because it was another example of having something very, very difficult. I haven't told you all the details, but there were times when I was in so much pain where I actually literally had to make myself sick. It was the only way I could get relief because I was so sick inside. It was like a fire going on inside of me and I had to literally force myself to get sick. It was not pleasant. And obviously you would hope people wouldn't have to have an experience like that in their lives, but sometimes these things do happen. Sometimes people get very sick and I was very sick for a long time, but I'm grateful that the doctors were able to help me. I had a wonderful surgeon who was just a wonderful man and he really helped me. And of course, more important than that is the blessing of the Lord to make sure that I still had a work to do on the earth. And I was able to live. It wasn't my time to die. And since then, those last 11 years, I've definitely had a different appreciation for the importance of life. And this life really is fragile. One experience I will share briefly, and I won't share all of it, but when I went into my surgery, I was in and out of consciousness. But for a moment, I had a feeling that I was on the threshold between this life and the next. And I just felt safe. I just felt total sense of security. I just felt like the Lord was there for me, that there is a life after this one and it is real. And just that feeling that death is not something we need to fear. And that really the Lord will take care of us. We're in his hands. I felt like I was in his hands at that time when I had that surgery. I felt like he was taking care of me and my family. And so that's really the experience I wanted to share. Those experiences about how, you know, life carries difficulty with it. But from my perspective, there is greatness can come from difficulty. And there are trials that come into our lives, but these trials are not intended to derail us. They're not intended to overcome us. They are intended to help us. Now, whatever way they come into our lives, and whatever source they come into our lives, they can be turned to good by the Lord. He can use them to educate us and to teach us and to inspire us. And also, I feel like it wouldn't be right for me to keep my experience to myself. I feel like I have this experience and I need to share it. That's one of the reasons why I'm glad I'm here today, that I can share that experience. I don't share everything about it. There are some things about those experiences that I had that are just too sacred and too personal to share. Mm-hmm. But suffice it to say, I came away from that surgery with a very clear understanding that the Lord is real and that he watches over his people, and he really is real. I know we believe that and we talk about that, but to sense it and to feel that the Lord is literally involved in our lives and that he ministers to us in our affliction. And that was the way I felt. I felt like, okay, the Savior really is real, and he helped me to feel like there's nothing to fear on the other side, and that this life, if we live it in the way we're intended to live it, it's a glorious life. I don't take it for granted anymore, because I know it is fragile and life can be gone very quickly, but we don't need to worry. We don't need to be afraid. The Lord will always support us. He will always sustain us in our troubles. And the Book of Mormon speaks about that. And I know for myself that that's true. I don't need to wonder, is that true? I don't need to think, right, oh, is there a life after this one? I know that there is, because of the experience that I have. And again, I don't talk about all the details of it because it's too sacred, but I know that the bliss and the happiness that awaits us on the other side is far greater than even the most blissful things we've felt in this world. The most wonderful things we've experienced are just a shadow. They're a dark shadow compared to what we're going to feel on the other side. So I'm grateful that the Lord preserved my life. I'm also grateful that he educated me to know that suffering is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. And whether it be persecution, whether it be illness, whether it be financial trouble, these things can educate us. And that's not just a slogan. It really is true. And I'm so grateful. In a way, it sounds ironic. But I'm grateful that I had those experiences, and I wouldn't give them up for anything, because they taught me so much about life that I just couldn't have learned in any other way. I feel like I understand when other people are suffering because I've been there. I know what it's like to suffer terribly. Yeah. And so it just helps me to have empathy and resilience to know that I just need to keep going one day at a time, one step at a time. And the Lord will always be there for us in our need.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. You know, I can relate. I'm sure it's probably a little bit different or whatever for you, but, I technically still have a form of leukemia. And so I was on chemo, a daily chemo, a little pill. Is that kind of what you're doing too?
Yeah.
Oral chemo for 7 years. And I get it. Like, it is so crazy, but I often say my leukemia really has been a blessing because of the same thing that you were saying. Like, it gives you this perspective of mortality, but it also gives you a perspective of like what's to come. It helped me to know that I didn't need to be scared, right? But I also wasn't ready to go. So I was like, you know what? Like, I only have this life, and I don't know how much longer, you know, my illness is going to stay in remission. I don't know if the medication is going to keep working. You know, I don't know. And so I really wanted to make sure that if I had to leave any time before the age of 100, right, that I would leave, like I would go out with a bang, you know, like I was going to be that person who was not afraid to try things. I wasn't afraid to share my story. I wasn't afraid to love hard and forgive easily. And, you know, like there were just things that and it wasn't all at once, right? It was like a little here and a little there that I kind of learned. And it's given me this beautiful perspective on life where, just like you, when I go through hardships, I'm able to see what it is, right? Like, I'm like, okay, I know that this is something that has a lesson in it for me. And even if it's not 100% for me, I know that someone in my life needs me to go through this so that they can learn something too. And I started changing my questions. It used to be, why me, Heavenly Father? Why is this happening to me? You know, like, why do I have to go through this? Right. And instead I shifted to what do I need to learn? Who, right? Who do I need to help in this situation, or who needs a lesson, right? How can I grow closer to you? How can I become more of the person that you need me to be because of this trial? Right. So instead of just kind of changed those questions and even like the where, right? Like, where do you want me to go with this? Right. What do you want me to do with this? Like, and so it's really been helpful in my own experience. And it sounds like in yours too, to remember that those trials and those afflictions that we're going through, like you said, they are not the end. They are a means to an end, you know, the end of a lesser version of you, the end of going, maybe even like a part of a testimony to going to a conversion, you know. Maybe I know for me, like the death of my brother, that showed me that I'd always believed there was an afterlife, but it wasn't until I lost him that I had to know. Like, I had to do that research and figure out for myself, is that really a strong part of my testimony now? And it took a while, and it was hard, and it was painful, and I hated it, and don't ever want to go through it again necessarily. But I also don't ever want to give it to anybody else, because I know how much I was able to grow from it. And I know now that there's not a single person on this earth that could tell me that there's not a better place, that there's not a more beautiful place, that Heavenly Father doesn't exist, you know? So I love that you had those messages and that you're still learning, right? I mean, it doesn't mean you're done, because you're still here. So you're still going to have hardships, but you're still going to have, you know, amazing opportunities to learn and to grow and to have your testimony truly converted. And I just think, you know, I just love your whole story. I mean,
it's hard. I agree with you. I agree with you. It strikes me that in a way, to experience difficulty is a compliment from the Lord, because he knows that you're ready for the next level.
Yeah,
that sounds almost arrogant, but I don't mean it as arrogant, but I mean it as he knows that you're genuine. And so he allows something, even if he doesn't give it, he allows something to happen, but he knows he can turn it to good. And we are always growing. And that's one of the things I've learned, is that we need to keep growing. And it's easy to get stuck in whatever, the past, or stuck in a routine of living, but we have to break free. We don't have to break free, but we choose to break free.
We get
to become better. Yeah. So I feel that way. It is a compliment from the Lord. If you have a burden, he thinks you can carry it. He thinks you can become something more than what you already are. And that might seem like it's scary, but I think it's okay to be scared, because you can break through that fear and eventually feel better about yourself. Feel like, you know, I'm not going to be ashamed in the next life when I meet Joseph Smith or any of the other saints who have suffered, because I can say, well, I know what it is to face hardship, and I know what it is to try to be good. Obviously imperfectly, and I've done lots of stupid things and failed a lot of times, but I've been genuinely trying to improve and be better than I am. Right. And so I won't feel ashamed to meet the apostles and the saints who have suffered, because I'll feel like, yeah, I know what it is to suffer, but to keep my faith and let it be bright, let it be obvious that I believe, and not hide it and not shy away from it, but, you know, let it shine.
Right.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about doing this podcast is it allows me to learn from other people's perspective. Like even your story, Alicia, like the things that you've had to go through, I actually am able to grow from your story, from your perspective. And same with you, Thomas, like just hearing other people's perspectives on God, on struggles, on overcoming hardships in their lives, it can help me to grow as a person, even though I didn't experience that thing directly. So I really appreciate both of you and sharing your stories and your perspectives here. My question is, how has your perspective changed how you look at the world and how you treat your family specifically?
Yeah, that's a really excellent question. So I would say there's two things. One is, I think I've learned that we as individuals are actually much stronger than we think we are. We can endure difficulty that we is far more difficult than we realize. We've got more in us that's latent that just needs to be called forth. And sometimes our perspectives can be that we can't do something, or we can't overcome a trial, or we can't face a particular challenge, or we can't forgive someone, or whatever. I've learned that that really isn't true, that we, each of us, we really are created in the image of God, and we're royalty, spiritual royalty. And it doesn't matter where we come from, if we're born in poverty or riches. It doesn't matter how rich we are or how famous or how uneducated or educated. Those things don't really matter in the sense of we can become something more than we are. And God is calling each of us to do that. So I really believe that we have a potential far greater than what we realize. Each one of us, we can endure more. We can learn more. We can become more than we think we can, whatever the horizons are of what we believe about ourselves. That our Father in heaven will change that if we allow him to. So I've learned that. And I think I tried to think about that for myself, but also for other people, and especially my family, to think, okay, what's their potential? Not just what am I seeing in the moment, the things that might grind me down or the things that might disturb me, to expand my horizons and see in them something of the future, of their future possibility. And so I think it helps me to, it's helped me to love my family better, and other people as well, to see them in terms of what they could potentially be rather than what they're already doing. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing is, I have come to understand that the Savior is actually much more impressive than we think he is. The Savior is impressive, but I actually believe he's more wonderful than we believe. He's more impressive. He's more virtuous. He's more good. He's more loving. He's more generous. He's more gentle and more brave. So I've learned that the Savior really is strong. He's stronger than we think he is. And he's more intelligent than we think he is. And he's more loving than we think he is. And so I've learned that for myself, that the Savior really is amazing. He really is good to the core, and there's no one better than him. I mean, he is the pinnacle of goodness. And I felt that in my suffering, because there was, I remember one night when I was on the bathroom floor suffering before I had my surgery, and I was really, really sick. I had vomited in the bath, and it was at midnight. It was actually after midnight. And I was just in the depths of despair. And I was praying to Heavenly Father to know, well, why is this happening to me? And I heard a voice in my mind, not a literal voice, but a voice in my mind saying, well, Tom, I'm not going to take this illness away from you. But what I am going to do is give you an opportunity to share your testimony with other people, to know, so that they will know that you have a testimony of the Savior, that you have a testimony of his atonement, to know that you have an authentic testimony, a genuine testimony, that you've had an experience. Not that I understand the atonement fully, none of us can, but that I've had a bit of a glimpse, a tiny glimpse, into the fact that the Savior really did suffer for us, and he suffered for me, he suffered for you. And so I'm so grateful to be able to bear that testimony, that the Savior really did take upon himself our burdens. I know that he knows what it's like for me to experience very serious bowel perforation. He knows from the inside what that was like. I don't have to lecture him. I don't have to teach him or educate him about it. He knows what it's like, and he can help me to feel comfort in my affliction. So, you know, those two things, that we are stronger than we think we are. And I really believe that. I believe all of us have a potential that we're only beginning to discover. And this life has a way of helping us to dig deep. It demands of us that we look deeply. But sometimes we run away. We're afraid of what's in us, the light that's in us, the potential we have for goodness. We're afraid of it. And I've learned not to be afraid of that, to just let it be. Let the Lord, you know, bring that light forth out of me. And the second thing is, the Savior really is better than we think he is. And I really believe that he's stronger, and he can help us in ways that we might think, oh, he can't help me. But he really can. He can, you know, if we have a problem with pornography, he can help us to overcome it. If we have a problem with our temper, he can help us to calm it and to become peacemakers. Whatever we have a problem with, he can really help us to become the opposite. So, you know, I'm just so grateful for the experiences that I've had, hard as they were, and they were bitter to go through. And sometimes they still are, because I'm still unwell sometimes. But I realized there's a larger picture, there's a grander design there. And it's so important to try and look, take the long-term view, and not just get stuck in the moment of trouble, and look to what's coming ahead of us. That's a real solace to me, to have faith in the Savior. And I know that he's our comforter. So they're the two things I think I would say about what I've learned. How we should treat other people is see the potential in them, one by one, each person, not as a group, but as an individual. Each person can do amazing things. And that's not just the slogan. I really believe that we have potential. We just need to bring it forth.
Yeah. You know, when you were speaking, it made me think of the talk by Elder Bednar, where he says, he's talking about maybe his dad or something. And he said, you know, I know you have the faith to be healed, but do you have the faith not to be healed? Right? Like, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, like, do we have the faith to have this trial remain with us for however long it needs to remain with us? Maybe it's for the rest of our lives. Maybe it's for 11 years. Maybe, you know, like, we don't know, right? But like, do we have the faith to continue on with it when things aren't going to change that much in our circumstances, you know? And I don't know why, but that just popped in my head really powerfully. Like, sometimes that is going to be part of our trial, is that we have to be faithful, even if, you know. Or there was another talk, the but if not, right?
But if not.
Like, I know that the Savior is able to take this from me. And I know that Heavenly Father is strong enough to change my circumstances. And I know that, you know, all of this can just turn into butterflies and rainbows. But if not, I still have the faith.
Absolutely.
Right. And it's so easy to say, right? But it's so wonderful to experience, you know, even if it's just for a moment, guys. Sometimes we're going to be like, okay, I have the faith not to be healed for like 5 minutes. That's good. Next time, make it 6, you know, like, it doesn't, you don't have to be all the time, you know, happy and joyful and yay for trials, but as long as you keep checking in with that perspective, I think that it, there's a lot of good that can come from it, you know?
Yeah. I love what you said, Thomas, about you were, you know, I'm not, he told you he's not going to take it away from you, but that, but because it's so you could relate to what the pain that he went through and give you a better perspective on life and on the atonement. That was really powerful to me.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Because we sometimes think, because the Savior was the Son of God, that he just sailed through life and that everything was easy. But I don't think that's true. I think life was hard for him. And he's a suffering servant. It's not just suffering. Obviously, he has joy as well. But he serves even though he's suffering. That for me is the key, that life is intended to be difficult, but it's not so we are going to be derailed. It's not so we can fail. It's so that we can become something that we couldn't otherwise become. So yeah, I was really stunned when the Lord said to me, Tom, I'm not going to take this away. But I was really comforted that he was honest with me, that he just told me, that he didn't try to, you know, deceive. He just said, yeah, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have suffering, but yeah. I'm going to give you a meaning. I'm going to give you a reason, a why. And so it's so much easier to endure when you understand that your why is to become more like the Savior. And it really is. That's our purpose, is to become like the Savior. And the Lord is serious about that. If we're serious about it, then so is He.
I love that. I love, if we're serious about it, so is He. You know, I think that a lot of the times we just want Heavenly Father to fix it all, right? Just take this away from me. Just do this, just do that. But He wants us to learn for ourselves. He wants us to, you know, figure it out sometimes. And sometimes, you know, just like He did with the Savior, He withdraws a little bit. You know, He's still there watching, but He withdraws a little bit because He knows that it's something we can do, right? We can get through it. And we know that He's going to be there on the other side of it. So I have a question for you. So you mentioned that you have a couple books that you wrote about your life and everything. What are those books called? Can people?
So the first one is called Alive in Christ, and it's published by Cedar Fort there in Springville, Utah. Mm-hmm. And that really talks about my experience in the surgery. The book really was born out of that experience that I had, because I realized that I could have died, but I didn't. And so I didn't want to take my life for granted. I didn't want to take my faith in Christ for granted. I wanted to share it. I didn't feel like I should keep it to myself. And so that book really comes out of that gratitude for the Savior and the feeling that He really can give us a newness of life. Because sometimes people say, oh, your health is your wealth, or if you've got your health, you've got everything. I actually don't think that's true. I think health is really important, but I think you can learn a lot of things from being sick as well. Yeah. So for me, I learned that you can actually find new types of life in sickness that you didn't know when you were healthy. And so that's why I wrote that book. The second one is Cultivated in Christ, which is a natural follow-on. Again, that's by Cedar Fort. And really what that talks about is some of my experiences growing up, like the persecution we faced as a family and when we joined the church. But my mom is still active in the church. She serves in the temple. Wow. She's very faithful. She loves the Book of Mormon. She loves the prophet, and she loves the gospel. And you know, it's not about our circumstances. It's about, are we willing? Because the Lord knows our circumstances. He knows they're not ideal. But are we willing to trust Him? And that's what she did. She's not perfect. She would say that, but she's a great woman. And I think her faith rubbed off on me. I think faith is a bit like, it's transferable. You can almost pass it on to other people, and it's a domino effect. It's contagious. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I garnered a lot of my faith from her, because she said, oh, well, President Benson said, let's read the Book of Mormon as a family every day. So that's what we did. So that's what I do in my family. So that's really why I wrote Cultivated in Christ, is to talk about some of those experiences, about how we're going to have trouble, sometimes unexpected trouble that we don't foresee, but the Lord will sustain us. He will help us to get through it if we rely on Him, if we ask for His help. And sometimes it's as simple as saying, help me. I'm in trouble. I'm drowning here. And so in my own life, I know sometimes I've wanted to do things alone, do it myself. But I've learned, if you really want to do it right, you've got to ask the Lord for His help. And just be humble and not be saying, oh, I'm going to do it myself. So that's what Cultivated in Christ is about. And then the new book is out in October, which is about Perfected in Christ. So it's the culmination. It's about, I suppose, what we can do for the Savior when we go through this process of becoming more like Him, what we can then offer to Him in His service Wow. So, yeah.
Well, those sound fantastic. Awesome. I'm going to have to go look them up for sure.
Cool. Well, Thomas, do you have any last thoughts or comments you would like to share?
So I suppose I want to share my testimony that I'm so grateful for the Prophet Joseph Smith. I know that Joseph gets a lot of stick. He gets a lot of negativity and criticism. But as a 10-year-old boy, I gained a testimony that Joseph Smith was a prophet and that he really was in the sacred grove, and what he said happened really happened. And I felt that by the power of the Spirit, that that's true. It's actually true what Joseph said. And I know people say various things about him. Throughout my life, I've heard various things about him inside and outside the church. People have differences of opinion. But it's my testimony that Joseph really is a prophet. And just every bit as much a prophet as Peter, James, and John. He's a prophet. And the work that came through him, to me, is a miracle. And I regard the church as one of the greatest blessings in my life. The gospel is the greatest blessing in my life. It's totally changed my life. I mean, I some of my friends growing up are in trouble with the law and in trouble with drugs and various other things. And I'm so grateful for the gospel that came through Joseph Smith. He was the instrument, imperfect, but a good, faithful man. And I'm so grateful for the Book of Mormon. I've read portions of the Book of Mormon every day for as long as I can remember. And that's just a personal goal of mine. I'm not saying that anyone else needs to do that, but just for me, the Book of Mormon is so important to keep me calibrated, because this world is treacherous. This is a difficult world we live in. And I the Book of Mormon reminds me, okay, you need to be on track. Remind yourself constantly of where you need to be. So I love the Book of Mormon. I know it's the Word of God. It's scripture. And I love President Nelson. I know he's a prophet. What a man. I mean,
yeah.
You know, he's just such an incredible man, the things he's achieved, but he's humble and he really is so gifted, but he's not arrogant. And I just feel blessed that we're led by a man like that. And I know he represents the Lord. And then I suppose finally the Savior. I know that the Savior lives. And with all that those simple words imply, I know that he lives and all that that means. And we may not always see him. We may not always hear him, but he lives and he is interested in our lives personally. He knows us by name. He knows our needs. He knows our troubles and he knows our triumphs. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And I don't have to rely on someone else's opinion to know that. I know it for myself. I know the Savior knows me perfectly. And I know that he's the Son of God. I know that he will return again soon. Whatever soon means, yeah. I know he will come again. And I just want to be ready. This is not a time to be asleep spiritually. It's not a time to be diverted. It's a time to be focused, because the Lord is going to come again soon. And I want to be on the right, in the right way, be prepared for when he does come. I love the church. I think the church, I know sometimes people have criticisms of the church. I just, maybe I'm naive, but I just think the church is brilliant. I love being a part of it. I love to serve. I'd do more if I could. And so I just want to bear that testimony that I know these things are true and I know that they're beautiful and I know that they will bless our lives if we give them a fair chance.
I love awesome. That.
Thanks, that's Thomas. So
beautiful. Yeah, seriously, this has been such a wonderful, wonderful interview. I'm going to invite you to come back on at some other point, because I'm sure that you have even more stories that you could share with us, whether it's your own or church history stories, because we mentioned in the beginning that you're just church historian over there in Ireland. And I love that you've been able to take your experiences and your stories and be able to share them today with all of our audience. And so thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you jumping on with us.
Yeah, thank you. Feel it's like
my honor.
You feel like a kindred spirit. I feel like I could just come and hang out with you like tomorrow and
in a castle.
We could just be buddies. Oh yeah, I would have to be in a castle. But
well,
you're welcome.
We're royalty, so we belong in a castle. Yeah.
Yes. Ireland is beautiful. It's a beautiful country, and there are so many special places here. So anyone that comes loves it. So awesome. Yeah, come. Beautiful.
Okay, you convinced me. I'll come.
Awesome. Thanks, Thomas, once again for coming hanging out with us. And thank you for those of you who have hung out with us today and watched Thomas's story. We really appreciate it. And if you have a story like Thomas's or your own story, of course, that you'd like to share, go to latterdaylights.com and tell us about it. Let's get you on the show and help absolutely. You share your light just like Thomas did today.
Yeah. And be sure, guys, to hit that share button. Do our 5-second missionary work. Hit the share button. Get Thomas's story out to other people as well and let it light up their lives the way that it's lit up ours. I'm just making up stuff now. I don't even know, guys. It's okay. I'm royalty. I can fumble on my words sometimes. So be sure that you guys like and share. Drop us a comment. Let Thomas know what your favorite part of his story was, what kind of stood out to you and what, you know, just touched your heart. We would love to hear what you guys thought about it. With that, we are so excited to see what comes next week for another great story on Latter-day Lights. I hope that you guys all have a beautiful week and that you can make sure that the Savior stays close to you throughout. With that, we will talk to you later. Bye.
Take care.